Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hanson.
This is Life, Death, and the Law. I'm attorney Adam Hanson. We are back with Cody Beeson. We've got Tom Sparks and Martine. And we've been really working hard this morning trying to get this all set up so you can hear it and hopefully it's crystal clear. If not, I'm sure we'll hear about it. Am I right?
Yeah, you're right. It's a long time coming. The office is coming together, but it's looking good.
We have been in the act of building a studio, and Cody's been our consultant of what not to do and what to do. But we're still in the process of building a studio. It's not all the way done yet, but we figured, hey, let's just go ahead and try it out.
I mean, that's how you've always operated here is hurry up and like get done. Like just jump in and we'll figure it out. And we'll figure out the way. We'll trailblaze.
We've talked about this book that we read years ago now. It's the 12-week year, and it advocates for implementing systems in 12 weeks. Try something, you know. If you brainstorm and you have this idea, go ahead and throw it in there, try it out, give it a spin for 12 weeks, and then you're following up with that every week. You're doing an assessment. How are we doing on this? How are we doing on this? If it's not working after 12 weeks, ditch it or refine it, you know, move on. So it's something that we try and practice all the time. Are we perfect? No. But you're right. I mean, sometimes we just throw it in there and start going with it.
Sometimes you got to walk it back, but sometimes it sticks and it turns out to be a really good thing. Reminds me of a saying that we say a lot when you're talking about like tactics in the military. It's an 80% plan now is better than 100% plan later. And sometimes you can't wait for 100%. Like something requires action. We've got a pretty good idea what we want to do. Let's just do it. We'll get the other 20% on the back end.
Yeah. So Sean Garner, our partner, he's really a big out. Once you say that, I mean, that makes me think of Sean. He says that all the time. Not exactly like that, but he'll say something like, well, let's just try something. Something is better than nothing. Let's just get going. Then we'll work out the kinks as we go. And so really it's a testament to that mindset. He's really good at doing that.
What is it? Like the only bad decision is no decision.
Yeah.
Right? Like if you just stall, you're not going anywhere.
So we are estate planning attorneys. That's what we do. And so we run into people all the time that just have not done any planning. Not because they think that it's not necessary. They just put it off until tomorrow. And sometimes that tomorrow never comes. Unfortunately, we have to deal with that as well. Through a probate matter or through a guardianship or conservatorship matter. Now we're going to court. Now, all that stuff could have been avoided had you just did something ahead of time through our office. We can help you do that, right? And Tom, you're coming into this from the service. Now you're in the private sector. What's the difference between what you've practiced in the past as a JAG officer and what you're doing now as a private citizen attorney?
Well, I would say just the freedom to be able to help people in a way that I know that they need to be helped. Like sometimes when you're in the military service, you have protocols that we follow, and the protocols are designed to keep, you know, everything above board and safe for every situation. And sometimes people fall outside those situations, and in a hyper, you know, fixed setting like the military, sometimes you need to go and do something custom for somebody. And that's what I really like about working here is someone can come off the street, come in and talk to us about what their life situation is. We can create a custom plan to fit their needs, and they don't have to have any prior experience. Like, we handle all of that. Like, we have the expertise to be able to see what you need, what you want, and then get a plan, you know, that works for you. And that's really fun to see.
Last week we had a physician come and see us, and it made me think of when you go to the doctor, they've had years and years of schooling regarding our body and the ailments that our body can have. When they see symptoms, they will offer us some sort of remedy for those particular system or symptoms and hope that it treats the issue. I feel like that's kind of how we are when it comes to the law. So we've had years and years of experience learning the laws, implementing those laws in practical ways. And much like a doctor, when you come to us with symptoms, we because we've seen it so many times. Those symptoms we can address through legal means and make sure that everything's taken care of in the event of an emergency. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I would. And I think on top of that, like much like a doctor, when you go in, maybe you think, hey, my knee's hurting, but it actually might be something that's being caused by your hip. And you don't even know that. You just know your knee hurts. And a doctor's job would be to address the pain, but also get at the underlying issue. And sometimes when you come in, you don't realize what estate planning pitfalls you need to avoid, but that's what we want to help you avoid.
A lot of times when we sit with clients, I know you I know you guys have experienced this with our clients, but a lot of times they'll make comments like, I didn't know that was even an issue, or they feel this weight off their shoulders after they leave from our office. And I think a lot of that it's because of, we're able to bring out, once those individuals are able to communicate to us what they feel might be a potential issue, we can take that a step further and address those issues in advance and alleviate that worry that's just been weighing on them. They didn't even know about it. They knew there was something out there that was making them concerned, but it wasn't until they come and see us and we address that issue in advance to alleviate that they really feel like that weight is off their shoulders. And I hear it time and time again, and I know you have too, in what we do. So, Cody, any thoughts?
Yeah, you know, it's such a touchy subject. You know, people they don't want to deal with like family and family issues or feelings. To be able to put it all on paper, black and white, and just cut and dry, everybody's equal or whatever it is, you know, like it's a relief. And I felt that when I had my stuff done, and really I haven't looked back. It's been kind of nice knowing that everything's in place. But yeah, it is touchy waiting because families are made of personalities and people are weird, and they get weird when the time of death occurs and all that stuff is happening. So
yeah, a lot of people think that it's never going to happen. And that's the challenge, is we try to educate the community once a month. At least we'll do a seminar where we talk about these issues and show issues that might arise because we've seen them through experience. If you don't have proper planning in place, this is what could happen to you and your family. And so we want to address those and make sure that the community knows, hey, I need to have something in place because I don't want my affairs to go like this. I don't want them to go through a court proceeding. I don't want them to go, you know, it costs a lot of money to deal with when something goes down. I don't want my family fighting. I don't want to pay more taxes than I have to. All these things come up and they become relevant.
Yeah, I didn't realize how complicated it all is until you actually go through the process. And I mean complicated is, you know, you have 401ks and IRAs from different jobs and places. You have property and you have assets. And really putting it all under one roof does take some expertise. You know, you have to know what you're doing. But yeah, I didn't realize how much of that is out there.
Yeah, Tom, what do you think now that you come into this and you've been doing it for now, I don't know, 6-7 months?
Yeah, I think at first, like learning, you know, the procedures about, you know, trust planning, it can, like Cody's saying, be a little bit of an overload. And I think sometimes I see that in, like, in clients' faces is like, oh, this sounds really complicated. But that's the benefit of coming to a place like here, is we've seen it so many times, it's not complicated for us anymore. And we can take what seems very complicated and try to explain it in a very straightforward way and take that burden away from the client, which is nice. But for trust planning, there's a little bit more work up front to do that we help with. But once it's set up, it's infinitely better than, you know, other types of, you know, planning. It just does everything, you know, other types of traditional planning can do plus more.
You use the word trust, and I think a lot of people that might be listening to this, they get a little skittish about that word.
Sure.
Because they think that maybe it's only for rich people, or it's super complicated. That's what I often hear, is I don't need that because it's too complicated. I want something simple. In reality, what has been your experience with a living trust type mechanism, Don?
Yeah, a lot simpler than what I imagined it would be. So in the military, for example, I would help Marines and sailors establish some basic estate planning. Like, we're talking about large units that would deploy overseas. They would all need a basic will done, or maybe some powers of attorney. And whenever we heard that, you know, someone would ask me about a trust, and I would always tell them what I was instructed to tell them is, that's too complicated. You need to go out into town and find a civilian attorney that really specializes in that kind of thing. And then once, but it was because I didn't know. And then once I actually started to learn about them when I came here, it kind of demystified it a little bit, and it makes it seem, when you understand them, very straightforward and not too difficult for the average person to deal with. You just need to have a few key points under your belt to get a grasp on it.
Cody, you agree with that? What has been your experience?
I'm kind of fascinated to know, like, what jurisdiction would the wheels and would take, you know, when you're preparing for the military. Like, did they go to the state that you're in, or state that they're from? Like, it's really interesting, just knowing what I know about a trust, like, mm-hmm. a trust handles everything. Like, if I have property in Michigan, mm-hmm. I can put that in the trust. So it's just interesting to know, like, because with the military, you're dealing with people from all over.
Mm-hmm. Right. So there are some military documents that you do that are universal, and like full faith and credit clause, you know, the Constitution, that, you know, one state's will is going to operate in another state as long as it was sufficiently done by that state's standards. So you have that reassurance. But like you said, like the trust is, there's never a question. Like, it's just the one-stop shop for everything.
I mean, I get why the military does not want to start setting up trusts. Like, that's complicated. Then you're going to have, you know, lots of loose ends of, look, just follow orders.
Sure.
Sign here. Yeah, I did that. But you're out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You have assets and you have property and you have things. Yeah, it makes sense to put it all in one unit.
Yeah, when you're dealing with an 18-year-old Marine who owns an Xbox and everything's going to go to his mom or dad.
His girlfriend.
Hopefully not. But, you know, there's been, that's a whole nother, you know, civil issue that you deal with as a Marine Corps lawyer. But once you get to a little bit more complex estate where you've got more assets under your belt, it becomes relevant. Like, a simple will isn't going to get you all the way across the finish line a lot of times, and that's where the trust planning really comes into play.
I hear this a lot. My stuff is super simple. Like, I don't have a lot. I don't have, you know, all these things. I might be married. I might not be married. I have one or two kids. It's just simple. I just want something simple. Would it be simple to have a will in that particular case, do you think? What do you think? I mean, I left out a lot of facts in that hypothetical. However, mm-hmm. in your experience, what would you say to a person that says that?
I think I've heard that too, at least in my short time here. And my answer generally is, a trust is going to help everybody. Like, there's not a client that a trust won't help. It just becomes the question I have answered for people is, how much help, extra help, is it going to give you? And for some people with, you know, you've got real estate in multiple different states, or you want to avoid probate completely and not have your loved one even set foot inside a courtroom to do, you know, any of your estate, you know, distribution, a trust is going to help you accomplish that goal. And some people have different priorities in life, and from my experience, I have not yet met a client who couldn't benefit from a trust.
Freddie, what do you think?
You know, Sean always said, if you have a house, a car, a bank account, a trust is a great idea. It's going to simplify the process. But I would always say, like, well, what do you want to do with your remains? Do you want to be cremated? I mean, there's a whole range of questions beyond just your assets that also get answered in this building. So, yeah, there's a whole complicated set that goes into building your plan.
Yeah, and I think you hit on something. It's when we create trusts, whether it's a trust or it's a will, we create a lot more than just those particular legal structures. We're going to also complement that with, like, healthcare powers of attorney, with living wills, that's a big one, or healthcare directives. We're going to do powers of attorney for financial decision making. So usually when people come and sit down with me, I'll ask them a question like this. I'll ask, if you leave my office and something were to happen to you, who do you trust? Who does your gut tell you to trust when it comes to going to your bank and dealing with the bank, or dealing with the house, paying the mortgage, stepping in for you? And that's who I would lean towards when making your decision as to your financial decision maker. That's going to be somebody you name in either a trust or in your last will and testament, in your power of attorney for finances. But then we've got this other area of the law, like Cody brought up, that is different. You know, it's just different. It's not so much finances. It's more, I need to make a decision for this person who is maybe on life support. What would they want me to do? Would they want me to keep them on life support? Do they want to be off life support? Do they want their organs to be donated? So in that realm, I would call that a healthcare decision maker or a healthcare power of attorney agent. And so when we put this all together, whether that's a will package or it's a trust plan, you're going to have all these things that are complementary. I like to think of them as parts of an engine. And that engine, we all know a good running engine is smooth and no issues. If there's something going on in your engine, it starts to knock. And something, one component might be, or multiple components might be off in your engine, and it's knocking. It's just not performing the best. That's typical of an estate plan. And unfortunately, you don't know if your estate plan is going to work until it actually gets used. And that really takes your death or your incapacity in order to test it. But because we've seen it over and over again, we're able to diagnose these issues ahead of time and plan for this is what it's going to look like. And so we can already address that ahead of time. And we know the outcome because we've seen it so many times. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Yeah. We got to go to break. This is Life, Death, and Law.
Coming up, more thought-provoking conversations on life, death, and the law right after this.
If you have questions about how to get your affairs in order, we're talking, if you don't have a power of attorney in place or a will in place or some sort of legal planning to plan for the event of when you become incapacitated or you pass away, then you need to come and see us. We've got an upcoming seminar coming on Friday, September 13th. Yes, it's Friday the 13th. Don't be scared. This is the place you want to be. It's at the Foothills Library at 2:30 in the afternoon. Come and see myself and Sean. We'll be there answering questions. There's not very many times that you have available to you to ask questions of an attorney without being billed. This is one of those times. So come and see us. We're going to be talking about how you can put your stuff in order to hopefully avoid government processes if you become incapacitated or when you pass away, to make sure that your assets are protected going to your family members and those that you care about. So come and see us. This is September 13th. It's a Friday. Don't be scared of that. Friday the 13th. Come and see Sean and I, and we'll answer some of your questions.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
This is Life, Death, and the Law. I'm attorney Adam Hanson. We are back with Cody Beeson. We've got Tom Sparks and Martine. And we've been really working hard this morning trying to get this all set up so you can hear it and hopefully it's crystal clear. If not, I'm sure we'll hear about it. Am I right?
Yeah, you're right. It's a long time coming. The office is coming together, but it's looking good.
We have been in the act of building a studio, and Cody's been our consultant of what not to do and what to do. But we're still in the process of building a studio. It's not all the way done yet, but we figured, hey, let's just go ahead and try it out.
I mean, that's how you've always operated here, is hurry up and like get done. Like, just jump in and we'll figure it out. And we'll figure out the way. We'll trailblaze.
We've talked about this book that we read years ago now. It's the 12-week year, and it advocates for implementing systems in 12 weeks. Try something, you know. If you brainstorm and you have this idea, go ahead and throw it in there, try it out, give it a spin for 12 weeks, and then you're following up with that every week. You're doing an assessment. How are we doing on this? How are we doing on this? If it's not working after 12 weeks, ditch it or refine it, you know, move on. So it's something that we try and practice all the time. Are we perfect? No. But you're right. I mean, sometimes we just throw it in there and start going with it.
Sometimes you got to walk it back, but sometimes it sticks and it turns out to be a really good thing. Reminds me of a saying that we say a lot when you're talking about like tactics in the military. It's an 80% plan now is better than 100% plan later. And sometimes you can't wait for 100%. Like, something requires action. We've got a pretty good idea what we want to do. Let's just do it. We'll get the other 20% on the back end.
Yeah. So Sean Garner, our partner, he's really a big, once you say that, I mean, that makes me think of Sean. He He says that all the time. Not exactly like that, but he'll say something like, well, let's just try something. Something is better than nothing. Let's just get going, and then we'll work out the kinks as we go. And so really, it's a testament to that mindset. He's really good at doing that.
What is it? Like, the only bad decision is no decision.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if you just stall, you're not going anywhere.
So we are estate planning attorneys. That's what we do. And so we run into people all the time that just have not done any planning. Not because they think that it's not necessary. They just put it off until tomorrow. And sometimes that tomorrow never comes. Unfortunately, we have to deal with that as well through a probate matter or through a guardianship or conservatorship matter. Now we're going to court. All that stuff could have been avoided had you just did something ahead of time. Through our office, we can help you do that, right? And Tom, you're coming into this from the service. Now you're in the private sector. What's the difference between what you've practiced in the past as a JAG officer mm-hmm. and what you're doing now as a private citizen attorney?
Well, I would say just the freedom to be able to help people in a way that I know that they need to be helped. Like, sometimes when you're in the military service, you have protocols that we follow, and the protocols are designed to keep, you know, everything above board and safe for every situation. And sometimes people fall outside those situations, and in a hyper, you know, fixed setting like the military, sometimes you need to go and do something custom for somebody. And that's what I really like about working here, is someone can come off the street, come in and talk to us about what their life situation is. We can create a custom plan to fit their needs, and they don't have to have any prior experience. Like, we handle all of that. Like, we have the expertise to be able to see what you need, what you want, and then get a plan, you know, that works for you. And that's really fun to see.
Last week we had a physician come and see us, and it made me think of when you go to the doctor, they've had years and years of schooling regarding our body and the ailments that our body can have. When they see symptoms, they will offer us some sort of remedy for those particular symptoms and hope that it treats the issue. I feel like that's kind of how we are when it comes to the law. So we've had years and years of experience learning the laws, implementing those laws in practical ways. And much like a doctor, when you come to us with symptoms, because we've seen it so many times, those symptoms we can address through legal means and make sure that everything's taken care of in the event of an emergency. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I would. And I think on top of that, like, much like a doctor, when you go in, maybe you think, hey, my knee's hurting, but it actually might be something that's being caused by your hip. And you don't even know that. You just know your knee hurts. And a doctor's job would be to address the pain, but also get at the underlying issue. And sometimes when you come in, you don't realize what estate planning pitfalls you need to avoid, but that's what we want to help you avoid.
A lot of times when we sit with clients, I know you I know you guys have experienced this with our clients, but a lot of times they'll make comments like, I didn't know that was even an issue, or they feel this weight off their shoulders after they leave from our office. And I think a lot of that it's because of, we're able to bring out, once those individuals are able to communicate to us what they feel might be a potential issue, we can take that a step further and address those issues in advance and alleviate that worry that's just been weighing on them. They didn't even know about it. They knew there was something out there that was making them concerned, but it wasn't until they come and see us and we address that issue in advance to alleviate that they really feel like that weight is off their shoulders. And I hear it time and time again, and I know you have too, in what we do. So, Cody, any thoughts?
Yeah, you know, it's such a touchy subject. People they don't want to deal with, like, family and family issues or feelings. To be able to like put it all on paper, black and white, and just cut and dry, everybody's equal or whatever it is, you know, like it's a relief. And I felt that when I had my stuff done, and really I haven't looked back. It's been kind of nice knowing that everything's in place. But yeah, it is touchy because families are made of personalities, and people are weird, and they get weird when the time of death occurs and all that stuff is happening. So,
yeah, a lot of people think that it's never going to happen. And that's the challenge, is we try to educate the community once a month. At least we'll do a seminar where we talk about these issues and show issues that might arise because we've seen them through experience. If you don't have proper planning in place, this is what could happen to you and your family. And so we want to address those and make sure that the community knows, hey, I need to have something in place because I don't want my affairs to go like this. I don't want them to go through a court proceeding. I don't want them to go, you know, it costs a lot of money to deal with when something goes down. I don't want my family fighting. I don't want to pay more taxes than I have to. All these things come up and they become relevant.
Yeah, I didn't realize how complicated it all is until you actually go through the process. And I mean complicated is, you know, you have 401ks and IRAs from different jobs and places. You have property and you have assets. And really putting it all under one roof does take some expertise. You know, you have to know what you're doing. But yeah, I didn't realize how much of that is out there.
Yeah, Tom, what do you think now that you come into this and you've been doing it for now, I don't know, 6-7 months?
Yeah, I think at first, like learning, you know, the procedures about, you know, trust planning, it can, like Cody's saying, be a little bit of, you know, an overload. And I think sometimes I see that in, like, in clients' faces is like, oh, this sounds really complicated. But that's the benefit of coming to a place like here, is we've seen it so many times, it's not complicated for us anymore. And we can take what seems very complicated and try to explain it in a very straightforward way and take that burden away from the client, which is nice. But for trust planning, there's a little bit more work up front to do that we help with. But once it's set up, it's infinitely better than, you know, other types of, you know, planning. It just does everything, you know, other types of traditional planning can do plus more.
You use the word trust, and I think a lot of people that might be listening to this, they get a little skittish about that word.
Sure.
Because they think that maybe it's only for rich people, or it's super complicated. That's what I often hear, is I don't need that because it's too complicated. I want something simple. In reality, what has been your experience with a living trust type mechanism, Don?
Yeah, a lot simpler than what I imagined it would be. So in the military, for example, I would help Marines and sailors establish some basic estate planning. Like, we're talking about large units that would deploy overseas. They would all need a basic will done, or maybe some powers of attorney. And whenever we heard that, you know, someone would ask me about a trust, and I would always tell them what I was instructed to tell them is, that's too complicated. You need to go out into town and find a civilian attorney that really specializes in that kind of thing. And then but it was because I didn't know. And then once I actually started to learn about them when I came here, it kind of demystified it a little bit. And it makes it seem, when you understand them, very straightforward and not too difficult for the average person to deal with. You just need to have a few key points under your belt to get a grasp on it.
Cody, you agree with that? What has been your experience?
I'm kind of fascinated to know, like, what jurisdiction would the wheels and would take, you know, when you're preparing for the military. Like, do they go with the state that you're in or the state that they're from? Like, it's really interesting because knowing when I go about a trust, like, mm-hmm. a trust handles everything. Like, if I have property in Michigan, mm-hmm. I can put that in the trust. So it's just interesting to know, like, because with the military, you're dealing with people from all over.
Mm-hmm. Right. So there are some military documents that you do that are universal, and like full faith and credit clause, you know, the Constitution, that, you know, one state's will is going to operate in another state as long as it was sufficiently done by that state's standards. So you have that reassurance. But like you said, like the trust is, there's never a question. Like, it's just the one-stop shop for everything.
I mean, I get why the military does not want to start setting up trusts. Like, that's complicated. Then you're going to have, you know, lots of loose ends of, look, just follow orders and
sure.
sign here. Yeah, I did that. But sure. you're out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You have assets and you have property and you have things. Yeah, it makes sense to put it all in one unit.
Yeah, when you're dealing with an 18-year-old Marine who owns an Xbox and everything's going to go to his mom or dad.
His girlfriend.
Hopefully not. But, you know, there's been, that's a whole nother, you know, civil issue that you deal with as a Marine Corps lawyer. But once you get to a little bit more complex estate where you've got more assets under your belt, it becomes relevant. Like, a simple will isn't going to get you all the way across the finish line a lot of times, and that's where the trust planning really comes into play.
I hear this a lot. My stuff is super simple. Like, I don't have a lot. I don't have, you know, all these things. I might be married. I might not be married. I have one or two kids. It's just simple. I just want something simple. Would it be simple to have a will in that particular case, do you think? What do you think? I mean, I left out a lot of facts in that hypothetical. However, mm-hmm. in your experience, what would you say to a person that says that?
I think what I've heard that too, this in my short time here, and my answer generally is a trust is going to help everybody. Like, there's not a client that a trust won't help. It just becomes the question I have answered for people is how much help, extra help, is it going to give you? And for some people with, you know, you've got real estate in multiple different states, or you want to avoid probate completely and not have your loved one even set foot inside a courtroom to do, you know, any of your estate, you know, distribution, a trust is going to help you accomplish that goal. And some people have different priorities in life. And from my experience, I have not yet met a client who couldn't benefit from a trust.
Freddie, what do you think?
You know, Sean always said, if you have a house, a car, a bank account, a trust is a great idea. It's going to simplify the process. But I would always say, like, well, what do you want to do with your remains? Do I need cremated? Do you want, I mean, there's a whole range of questions beyond just your assets that also get answered in this building. So yeah, there's a whole complicated set that goes into building your plan.
Yeah, and I think you hit on something. It's when we create trusts, whether it's a trust or it's a will, we create a lot more than just those particular legal structures. We're going to also complement that with, like, healthcare powers of attorney, with living wills, that's a big one, or healthcare directives. We're going to do powers of attorney for financial decision making. So usually when people come and sit down with me, I'll ask them a question like this. I'll ask, if you leave my office and something were to happen to you, who do you trust? Who does your gut tell you to trust when it comes to going to your bank and dealing with the bank, or dealing with the house, paying the mortgage, stepping in for you? And that's who I would lean towards when making your decision as to your financial decision maker. That's going to be somebody you name in either a trust or in your last will and testament, in your power of attorney for finances. But then we've got this other area of the law, like Cody brought up, that is different. You know, it's just different. It's not so much finances. It's more, I need to make a decision for this person who is maybe on life support. What would they want me to do? Would they want me to keep them on life support? Do they want to be off life support? Do they want their organs to be donated? So in that realm, I would call that a healthcare decision maker or a healthcare power of attorney agent. And so when we put this all together, whether that's a will package or it's a trust plan, you're going to have all these things that are complementary. I like to think of them as parts of an engine. And that engine, we all know, a good running engine is smooth and no issues. If there's something going on in your engine, it starts to knock. And one component might be, or multiple components might be, off in your engine, and it's knocking. It's just not performing the best. That's typical of an estate plan. And unfortunately, you don't know if your estate plan is going to work until it actually gets used. And that really takes your death or your incapacity in order to test it. But because we've seen it over and over again, we're able to diagnose these issues ahead of time and plan for, this is what it's going to look like. And so we can already address that ahead of time. And we know the outcome because we've seen it so many times. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Yeah. We got to go to break. This is Life, Death, and the Law.
Coming up, more thought-provoking conversations on life, death, and the law right after this.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hansen, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and the Law. We were talking last segment, we got into politics. Tends to happen all the time, right? Everything is connected to politics.
Start talking about court and judges and elections, and there we go.
And the Roman Empire.
Yeah. Right.
It's connected.
Everything comes back to Rome.
You've been on your phone a lot, Tom. What's going on here?
Just reading some news stories. You know, I peruse the news to try to stay up to date on everything. I've seen stories from...
Hold on. When you say peruse the news, you're saying you're flipping through Instagram?
No, no. Flipping through, you know...
That was your primary news source.
No, TikTok is. Just
That's
kidding.
Better.
Yeah. No, I flip through different news channel websites on the phone, try to get a full picture, a panorama of what's going on in the world.
Okay.
And I've seen some wild things. I've seen from whether or not Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce's relationship was staged and had a planned breakup from the beginning via contract. I don't know. Say what you and Martine, do you have any thoughts on that? Do you think it's fake or real?
I mean, I can see like both parts of it as to like why it would be like fake, because you know, like whenever you search up Taylor Swift's boyfriends, Google hits you with that view 20 more. So like it's very reasonable, but I don't know, like I would like to believe that it's real and that it was made out of true admiration for another, but I mean, it's just show business.
That is a good point, Martin. It's just show business. I think that sentiment is so prominent throughout the world today. Is you've got social media that goes around, and nothing gold can stay, to borrow a line from The Outsiders. It seems like it's all fake. You've got all these fake lives given on fake social media accounts, and the authenticity factor is lacking, and I think that harms society as a whole. So that's the sentiment I get from today's news, to answer your question.
Just Tinseltown.
Tinseltown.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, is it, I don't think this is any different than times past. I recently was watching this series on Netflix. I highly recommend it. I don't know if I'm going to botch the name of it or not, but if you look this up on Netflix, you'll find it and you'll hit or miss. It's Wyatt Earp and the Cowboy War. It's like, I want to say 6 or 7 episodes, maybe 30 minutes each. But I don't know about you, but I'm a big fan of the Wild West, especially Wyatt Earp. I grew up near Tombstone, and so it's always been, kind of a source of pride in my life that I grew up in that region. So I know it very well. When you watch the movies like Tombstone, and you see all these little towns that they go to, I've been to those towns. We played those towns in sports and things like that. So it feels good. Feel good to be part of American history like that. Well, in this series, the reason I bring it up is because of something you just said. It's interesting. It's actually kind of like a documentary, and I wasn't expecting that. I thought it was going to be more like a movie, but it goes to the heart of the reality at the time and how big of a deal Wyatt Earp and the OK Corral was in American history. There's so much riding on what happened there, and this big clash that was happening in Tombstone really threw the whole young United States up in arms, because we still had some deep resentful sentiments between North and South from the Civil War that were left over. And this is, the OK Corral happened about 20 years after the Civil War ended. But predominantly the Southern side people migrated to Arizona. And so when you had Wyatt Earp and the Earp brothers do what they did to the Cowboys, as they called themselves, is basically a gang. It was like the mafia.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that, like, this series will go on and say, which if you've seen the movie Tombstone, it's the same thing. Like, cowboy in that particular movie is not a good thing. You don't want to be a cowboy. They're bad guys. So it's, you know, and it's the same thing in real life. That's how it was. They were mafia members, basically. And
it was a gang, an outlaw gang.
Yeah, but what it portrays is that the cowboys were very much against the federal government or government at all, because it wasn't their government. They aligned with the South, and the South lost. And so the Union was oppressing them, and they used the press to really wreak havoc on the situation at the time. Or I would say it was more of a, what's the word for that? Opportunistic. So you had the main leader of the Cowboys. His name was Ike. And he was the one that was going to war, really, with their brothers, who were the Law and Tombstone. And when something would go bad, Ike would run to the newspaper and make up stories that just made it look like these guys were oppressive, authoritative cops. And they're just oppressing us and pushing us down. And most of that, if not all of it, was erroneous. But the press loved the story, and they all run with it, and it went nationwide. And the people back east really ate this stuff up. They loved these stories from the West, the wild, wild West. And so they loved it, you know. But at the same time, it made us look, as a young nation, to other countries around us, really tumultuous and not a good investment. So you have J.P. Morgan at the time, who's trying to get financing from England to buy the railroad system, because that is going to be the linchpin to his wealth. If he can get control of the railroads, then he can do anything he wants, shipping all the goods across the United States, and controlling those railroads was the key to all that. And so he goes on this tour of Europe, soliciting loans from London, from the Prince of Wales. He goes all around trying to ask for money to buy the railroads. And they're like, we're not going to invest in America. It's crazy over there. We've heard all these stories of Wyatt Earp and these cowboys. You guys can't even keep things together. And so it was really bad for him. So he had to try and solve the Wyatt Earp problem from New York and from London. Isn't that crazy? I've never even thought about that. But there's all these dynamics of how the press really played into that, because all these stories going out tainted the view of the world as to the solidification or the unionized methodology or mindset of a young United States after the Civil War. And so J.P. Morgan had to come up with some way to project that the U.S. is now unified and that everything was good, so he can get money from foreign powers to buy for the railroad, which he ultimately did. And that's how he amassed his wealth, billions and billions of dollars, through buying the railroad system. Very interesting. I didn't know that all was tied to that one gunfight at the OK Corral. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
It all just, like, it was a big catalyst to all that. Crazy. But I bring that up because you mentioned the press, and oftentimes I think things that we read are, you know, I take it with a grain of salt. I'm always going to want to look into what I'm reading. Even you brought up this Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce thing. As much as I like a good salacious story and hope that that's true, because, you know, you just do, you want it to be a scandal.
Yeah.
At the same time, I'm thinking, well, somebody knows that we all want it to be a scandal. And so Is this even true, or where are they getting their information? And unfortunately, a thing like that, like, you can't even verify.
Right.
It's impossible.
Right. Yeah. And on top of that, you know, there's always those effects down the road, like you're talking about, that you can't foresee by, you know, churning those stories up. And there's been lots of debate in the country about whether we're talking about freedom of speech versus, hey, what's the responsibility of those putting stories out to, you know, correct them if they're factually incorrect, or if we can't prove they're incorrect, whether we're censoring them and saying, hey, let's put a fact check link on this video because we don't like what it's saying. And, you know, it gets into a whole mess from there, which is something we're seeing play out in our country in real time right now.
I think the term that they use, Cody, is it's a danger to our democracy. Right? Have you heard that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think we've talked about this often on our show. Like, free press is, and freedom of speech are probably two of the linchpins of the American democracy system. And we need to maintain those at all costs. So I'm okay with lies being told in newspaper articles. I'm okay with bad things being promulgated as correct news, because the idea is that through that mechanism, we can say the truth, but we will get to the truth as it comes into the public forum and we actually attack that. So we've got mechanisms liability-wise. If I print something that's erroneous that I know to be a lie about Tom, I can't go to the newspaper and, well, I can, but I could be liable for slander if mm-hmm. it's in word form and writing, libel.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've got remedies in law to come against me. But if I can't prove that it's wrong or that it's a lie, then it's hard for me to actually have a remedy there. And all you have to do is prove that it's the truth and you win. So,
right. Yeah, and it's and on purpose too, because freedom of speech is so important. We want to err on the side of people speaking their mind, and we don't want to, you know, put those safeguards on it if at all possible. And yeah, it's funny, to save democracy, we've got to, you know, get rid of the Second Amendment. We've got to put safeguards on the First, all in the name of saving democracy, which is just the ironic thing, is that's the thing that's killing it. Yeah. It's getting rid of those things.
It's the fact checking and the chilling of speech.
Mm-hmm.
You're too scared to say something because you're worried there's going to be repercussions.
Right. The human being, very resilient. We're smart individuals. We learn from our environment. And you don't need to be formally educated from higher institutions to know, you know, something garbage when you see it or when you hear it. And that's the idea, is I don't need you to filter it for me. Like, let me just hear the story and I will tell you whether or not I believe it or not. I don't need you to give me the cliff notes. I'll do it on my own.
That's all the time we have. Cody, you have any closing thoughts?
We're good.
You're good? Okay, good. Well, we will talk to you next week. This is Life, Death, and the Law.
If you have questions or want to know more about something that was discussed today, please call the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson at 928-783-4575 or visit yumaestateplanning.com.
If you have questions about how to get your affairs in order, we're talking if you don't have a power of attorney in place or a will in place or some sort of legal planning to plan for the event of when you become incapacitated or you pass away, then you need to come and see us. We've got an upcoming seminar coming on Friday, September 13th. Yes, it's Friday the 13th. Don't be scared. This is the place you want to be. It's at the Foothills Library at 2:30 in the afternoon. Come and see myself and Sean. We'll be there answering questions. There's not very many times that you have available to you to ask questions of an attorney without being billed. This is one of those times. So come and see us. We're going to be talking about how you can put your stuff in order to hopefully avoid government processes if you become incapacitated or when you pass away, to make sure that your assets are protected going to your family members and those that you care about. So come and see us. This is September 13th. It's a Friday. Don't be scared of that. Friday the 13th. Come and see Sean and I, and we'll answer some of your questions.